experience of Moses regarding Pharaoh, there's one thing that is very forcibly impressed upon you, and it is this. The heart of man is terribly stubborn. You read there of the various plagues that the Lord sent along to Pharaoh, and on each occasion, right up until the end, he refused to let the people go. Now, yes, there were those times when he said, okay, take it away, pray to the Lord to take it away, I'm going to let the people go. But then he didn't do it. And when Moses was away, his heart hardened again, and he refused to let the people go. And you have experienced that in some degree in the work here. A person may have come along and they have seemed to be concerned regarding spiritual things, or maybe even as you've been speaking to them in the door. And really in your heart you think, this is working. God is moving in this person's heart now, and they've said they're going to come along to the meetings, or in the meetings they have indicated that they're showing an interest in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They got out of the meeting, or you left their doorstep. The hardness of their heart was at the forefront again. And the very fact that the plagues had to be sent until that last and awful plague of the slaying of the firstborn had to come to Egypt. But certainly those passages that detail those things show us that the heart of man is very, very hard, and certainly that he is very stubborn as far as his will is concerned. We need the Lord to move and to change the wills of men and women. But at this particular portion that we come to, the children of Israel have been set free. They've gone out from under the heel of Pharaoh. And as they go out, Moses was the man at that time who was largely used in the directing of them in their way. But just think for a moment here, and I think this is relevant to mention at the beginning of another year of work in the church here. The Lord had promised in Genesis chapter 15 that after the time of bondage, he would let them go. And he did let them go. And there may have been times during that experience in Egypt when they thought, well, what about the promise of God? Is God not going to keep his word? Well, Genesis 15, and you tie it in with what we're reading here today, the fact is underscored that God keeps his word regarding his promises. And perhaps in your own particular, your own private time with the Lord, you feel that the Lord has given you little promises concerning that part of the work. Or maybe you find a great promise in the word and you've said, Lord, I'm going to hold on to that and I'm going to plead that at the throne of grace. And you've done it, you did it last year, and maybe you've done it the year before, and who knows how many years before that. And because of our human makeup, it could be that we're starting to think, well, does God not keep his promises? Well, brethren and sisters, God always keeps his promises. He always keeps the promises of his word. He always keeps his promises to his witnesses. And he always keeps his promise concerning his wrath. So that hasn't changed. His word, the promises, he still keeps his word. He keeps his promise concerning you and I as his witnesses, and he keeps his promise concerning his wrath. His wrath still abides upon an awful lot of people in Northern Ireland. And there are some things that are very notable here regarding these children of Israel as they left the land of Egypt. They left here in a good state physically. I just want to read to you what it says there in Psalm 105, verse 37. It says in Psalm 135, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's astonishing. They've always ailments of one degree or another. But it says here that there was not one feeble person at that time among their tribes. Now go back upstream a little bit, and you will remember that they, before they went out of Egypt, what had they to do? They had to feed upon the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. And of course, this is a very great spiritual significance to you and I as we journey out into another year in the work here. Could it be said concerning every one of us that name the name of the Lord that we are spiritually strong, that there's not one feeble person among us? Well, I can put my hand up and say, well, I don't sometimes come into that category. We all feel our feebleness. But brethren and sisters, the secret is to be feeding upon the Lamb. To be looking to Christ for sustenance and for strength for the work. And in speaking to various individuals in some parts of the world that have been laboring in some parts of the world, in some areas, you have to literally be doing that one day at a time. Because you don't look a month or two down the line, you would feel, well, now I'm certainly not going to be up to the task. Looking to the Lord day by day, feeding upon the Lamb. But they were also extremely well organized. Big, big number of people. Maybe around 2.5 million. I know that estimations vary and so on, but there certainly were a huge number of people. Now, these people journeying, they were just like those who they left a better place. They're like those who've been saved. That's us. We left the awful place of sin and we've been brought into the family and fold of God. But if you notice there in chapter 13, verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That would have seemed to have been the natural route to take. It says, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. In other words, he led them in a different way because their hearts could have been filled with fear and they could have become faint in the work and come to that point where they were longing even to be back in Egypt. And of course, that did happen to them. But not because the Lord led them in the wrong way. It's because they became carnal in their thoughts. You know that they were lusting after the different things that the Lord hadn't provided for them. They were complaining greatly and so on. But the Lord, in his wisdom, led them this way because they were not prepared really for the battle. They were just out of Egypt. And whenever you get saved, you're just out of sin. You certainly, well, I don't know everything, and neither does anyone here, but when you're just saved, a lot of things you have to learn. And the Lord brings you along bit by bit, and sometimes he opens up a little door of doing something for him, and with that, some people are there all their days. Somebody has to do it. The Lord has someone at it, and that is what he wants them to do. But for some others, sometimes he gives you something a little bit more difficult to do. And then something with a little bit more responsibility to do. And he does it as he works in your life. And you walk with him because he would not want the point to come where you felt so afraid that you just wanted to back out. Again, here we're speaking about things that are very common to God's people. To feel that fear and to feel, well, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Now, it's again very, very important that they were helped and encouraged and guided and ruled by Moses, but they were taught by the Lord. They were taught by the Lord. And while there is organization in our congregation and we try to have things as orderly as we possibly can, we need to remember this. The Lord teaches us. And he leads us. We sang earlier on, he will guide me. And in this passage that we read in Exodus chapter 13, the Lord has given the pillar of cloud and fire. Now it seems it is quite unique, and it may seem to the worldling who will look at this, it's absolute nonsense being led by a cloud. Is that not superstition? This was the Lord and his presence leading the people here. And they would be able continually to know his leading for them. You see, everything had been provided for them as they would journey to the promised land. And again, looking at themselves, and it's indicated there in verse 17, and indeed in other places, they could have waxed faint and become scared and back from the way that the Lord was leading them. And we know that Moses did have great difficulty in keeping the children of Israel going on in the right direction under the Lord. But everything, as far as God was concerned, had been provided. And you know, folks, Again, as we get into the autumn work again, it's so important that we remember the Lord is bringing the work forward. It's the same right across our provinces, from the largest congregation to the ones where maybe there's 6 or 7 people this morning, or 10. And places where in the Sunday school it has almost died out. Important to remember that the Lord will lead his people. So the title this morning is, and I hope it will be helpful to you and all that you're involved in. The title is, Going Forward with Confidence. Going Forward with Confidence. Again, if you look there in verse 21 of chapter 13, it's very evident that the pillar here, it signifies, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is how the church is led. But you'll see there, first of all, that it was to lead them. And you can see that the Lord is leading them onwards here. In another portion it says, and he led them on safely. But you'll notice here that the Spirit leads always according to what God has said. And this is something that we need to remind ourselves of every now and again, that the Holy Spirit never leads in a way that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Never leads contrary to his word. Over there in the book of Numbers, in chapter 9, it's Numbers chapter 9. This, you could call one of the key portions on what is called the Shekinah glory, which is the presence of the Lord there with his people. It says in verse 18, it says, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. The verse before that says, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. The word Shekinah, and this is a reference to the Shekinah glory there, it's referring to, the word Shekinah is from a word Shekan, meaning to dwell. To dwell. And of course, whenever the Lord was with them in the pillar of cloud and fire, he was dwelling with his people there. Now you will notice in verse 18 that we've just read together, that this was the spoken word. This was the spoken word, and in the cloud was the visible sign of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. There's close correspondence between what has been said here in Numbers 9 and what is experienced in Exodus chapter 13. Brethren, it can't be any other way. I can't go off on my own notions. I'll get lost. It'll lead to great unhappiness and shipwreck for me. But as a congregation and as a denomination, as God's people in general, we seek to go forward. We can go forward with confidence, knowing that what you're shown in the Word and what God speaks to your heart by the power of his Holy Spirit, they both are closely associated together. Now, we mentioned there verse 17 and verse 18 in Numbers chapter 9. The word abode is found there. You will have noticed that. That word abode in the original is the word Shekinah. The word Shekinah, or the Lord Shekinah, or the word, the Lord dwelt among his people. And of course, the sense of the word here is that he dwelt with them in a way that would be extremely important and extremely helpful to them. You may have noticed the word commandment there. You'll see it twice in verse 18. It's in verse 20 as well. 3 times in verse 23. The word commandment there in that chapter 9 literally means the mouth of the Lord. So at the mouth of the Lord they went forward. His presence dwelt with them. And he showed them that that was the way to go. He told them that was the way to go. Then he led them in the way. And while they would stick to what they knew to be right, then things would be well. Things would be well with them. Of course, it's the same for us as individuals, but we're speaking here of the church. In fact, I think there are 7 times in this whole passage that there's a reference to the commandment referring to the mouth of the Lord. And you know the word of God in its written form. As you read it at home, it is exactly equivalent to that which is attached to the word of God if he spoke to you audibly. You know, when you talk, the Lord has spoken to my heart. If you feel the Lord has spoken to your heart on something and it doesn't tie in at all with the teaching of the Bible, then we've made an error as a congregation. Because the Word of God, the written Word, and the voice of God as He speaks by the power of His Spirit through preaching and so on, it always is for the betterment of His people. And if we are to go forward with confidence, we will need Him to lead us. You know that. There's no area of the work particularly big. There's reason to be thankful, of course, but there's no area of the work here particularly big. And we need the Lord to guide. In Psalm 99 and the verse 7, this is what it says. He spake unto them in this cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Now, of course, it is good at that time when it says that when He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar, they kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. They didn't always do that. And they erred from the way. So, brethren and sisters, we ought to look at our own hearts and say, Lord, help me. Help me to make sure that I'm in communion with the Lord, that I'm seeking for the Lord to guide us forward in the work and to guide us in a way that we can go forward with confidence. Over in John chapter 16, and it's the verse 13, it says, Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak concerning Himself, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. This is a ministry that the church cannot do without. That is the leading of God the Holy Spirit in the church. And as, again, you think of the work here and of going forward in the little work, part of the work perhaps that you're involved in, remember this. Keep looking to the Word. Keep looking to the Lord. Talking to the Lord. Asking the Lord to guide you. So that as you come to your little class or you're part of the work that you're involved in, you can go forward with confidence. People here were in a situation where it may not have taken a whole lot for them to lose heart. They needed the Lord to lead them on with confidence, and He was able to do that. And when you look at the leading there, if you look at Numbers chapter 9 in your own time again, verse 17 and so on, it was God's will sometimes that they halted. Did you see that? And sometimes in the work of God, there is that situation where there doesn't seem to be an awful lot happening. Makes you very thankful. You speak to people and say, you know, we had a mission there and one person came in. Or we had as I have heard from other congregations, we had our children's day and there wasn't one single parent came along. Not one. They let the children come, but they didn't come. Not one of them. And it seems that the work has halted. Remember this. The Lord orders the stops as well as the starts. And at the same time, while there is not that visible sign of certainly a revival, and if you take the whole country in general, I think the Reverend Greer was emphasizing this on Wednesday night when he was speaking at Dáil Abernethy's installation in Portadown. These are terrible days. Days when the country is in a complete mess. And the church wants to be very careful, the denomination, in order that in spite of the hardness, we can go forward with confidence, knowing that the Lord orders the stops and the starts. I would like you to turn to something very interesting in the book of Job chapter 38, please. Job chapter 38. It says there in Job 38, verse 31. It says, Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? I'll read it again. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Who is or what is Pleiades and Orion? They are two very significant, now some of you will know this, there are two very significant star groups. And the star group known as Orion is apparently best seen just before the winter comes along, the time of frost and snow and deadness comes along. But Pleiades is seen in springtime when there is that indication of life and vitality and the earth is starting to bring forth again. So why is this passage found in this verse in the book of Job? Well, the Lord is saying to his servant Job, can you prevent the winter deadness? No, you can't. But he's also saying, can you prevent the springtime with all of its life and lushness and freshness and vitality and refreshment? No, you can't. And of course, the message is very clear. Modern Christendom, and when I say, I'm speaking here of evangelical Christianity, this is the winter time. If you were to go to some of the little works in the mainland, you would know all about that. This is the winter time as far as hardness and difficulty and disappointment is concerned. Even when huge efforts are made regarding evangelization and so on, there is a hardness there that is being met that has not been experienced probably in my whole lifetime. But it's here now. And again, can thou bind the influences of Pleiades? No, you can't. But the Lord knows. But it also says, it speaks here about Orion, the time of freshness and refreshing and growth and springtime, referring to the Lord moving in a most remarkable way in his church. Man can't stop it. And the Lord does do it. Young Judith Crow was with us here this morning and speaking to the Sunday school about her experience in Nepal. I'm sure it was a very beneficial time for them. But the Lord at this present time is working in Nepal in a way that you and I can't really understand unless we've been there to witness it. People literally have been saved every week, every day. Churches have been established just one after the other in a way that you cannot really imagine. God's people growing in grace and the work strengthening and going from strength to strength. And that is something to be very thankful for. And here's the encouraging thing. The Lord, in his providence, has brought us into contact with what had started there before the Free Presbyterians went there. You know that Wesley Graham went out and they have seen a great work done there. It continues to go on. A most remarkable work. There's an orphanage. There's a Bible school now. Our Bible club. There's a Bible college now as well in the work there. And things are going. Sometimes things were going on so fast that it was hard to keep track of it all. Now, it's not happening in Northern Ireland today, as far as God's work is concerned. But brethren, we need to pray, and I tried to emphasize this in the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, to remember to pray that it will happen. I want to encourage you again, the Vision magazine is available there as you leave. If you've never taken a copy before, please take one today, because there is a bit in the back about Uganda. Do you remember I told you some months ago about this person who had started a work in Uganda and he had had a connection years ago with the Free Presbyterian Church in Liverpool, but he's an elderly man now and going out. There's over 200 people in it. There's 12 staff. There's a lot of other things going on and he wants to take the whole lot, property and all, with no strings attached and hand the whole lot over to the Free Presbyterian Church. He wants us to take it. Now, you'll read that yourself. You can read that there are some difficulties with the legalities of it all and the paperwork and so on. Everything has to be got right, but pray that it will happen soon. Because these are all harbingers, I believe, of blessing. The Lord in his providence brought us into contact with that work in Nepal. We didn't start it. And we would never claim, oh, that's our work in Nepal. We didn't start it. They had read the word. Some Christians who knew the Lord had read the word and they tried to establish churches according to New Testament teaching. But bringing them into contact with us, we've been able to help them tremendously. And in Nepal, in Uganda, who knows what the Lord can do there? Not only with that huge Christian school, but with all of the other contacts that will be involved with all of that. Now, some of these countries in other parts have gone through horrendous experiences. And times of, we mentioned hardness and difficulty and disappointment here. Well, if we were there, we certainly would know about it. But brethren, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord have come. They haven't come to the United Kingdom, but we need to pray that they will come and hope that they will come, that the Lord will come, and remember that God rules and reigns in the affairs of his church And when the church is making great strides that is seen to everyone forward, that is good. He is guiding. But he is also guiding, as I'm seeking to show you here with Orion and Plinius, he's guiding in the hard years. We don't really have a lot of time this morning to look at it, but it does say in the chapter, the book of Acts there in chapter 11, concerning them, I'll read some verses quickly. It says in verse 19, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And as you read on down through there, you will see in verse 23, who when he came, that was Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God. The Lord had moved. He didn't have to be told. He recognized that the Lord had moved here. It says that he was glad and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You see, Barnabas knew, here's a time of refreshing has now come, but we need to cleave unto the Lord. Now, there was, not everyone accepted them. It says there that they were, in verse 27, they were called Christians first at Antioch. The word Christian, the title Christian, simply meaning Christ's ones. If you support Glenavon, and someone might say, oh, there's Glenavon's ones, because you follow Glenavon or Linfield or someone else. So when these people were following the Lord, the world was looking on and said, they're Christ's ones. Oh, there's Christ's ones, look at them. There's Christ's ones today. That's what the word Christian means. So you can see here that even though the Lord had been working in a most remarkable way, they were not received by everyone. Stephen was dead. Now a great time of refreshing had come, but when you look at the next chapter 12, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. We know that James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. Peter was thrown into prison. So, brethren, the enemies of Christ are always at work. And there will always be hard times in any country. But there will always be places where the Lord is working in a most remarkable way. If you want to go forward this year in confidence as a church, and certainly we do want to do that in the work, remember this, need to be led by the Lord. We don't need new gimmicks. We don't need to be doing anything different from what you're doing. If you want to do something more, and you ask me what, I would say pray more. Pray more for the work that you're involved in. You don't need to be doing anything different than being faithful in what you're doing. So they could go forward with confidence, knowing that they were led by the Lord. But I want to notice briefly then, his leading brings great blessing to his people. If you look again in the book of Exodus chapter 14, and I will be very brief with these couple of thoughts. It's chapter 14 there, again in the book of Exodus, verse 20. It says there, concerning the pillar of cloud, it says, And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, that is to his own people, so that the one came not near the other all night. That really shows us, folks, in God's providence on that occasion, the enemy was kept at bay. Now we know that Christians are being martyred today. They're not being martyred here, but they are being martyred. And on that occasion, the Lord, in his providence, kept the enemy at bay. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Remember, God is sovereign in the affairs of men. And all the difficulties that you face in the work, remember this. God is watching it all. What I'm saying here is this. The pillar, the presence of the Lord there, the pillar of cloud, was a great blessing to Israel. And the Lord was able to look after Israel. And he was able to deal with that, which was the enemy of the work. He's still able to do that. Probably the biggest enemy, or one of the biggest enemies that we meet there today, is simply the hardness of man's heart. And we need the Lord to move as far as that is concerned. I just want to read what it says there in 2 Chronicles 3 and the verse 2 Chronicles chapter 32. You will see here, if you read this in your own time, in verse 1, there has been great, there's been trouble there. There has been deliberate action against the work of God to dry up the fountains, to stop the fountains of waters and so on. I don't really have a lot of time to go into that this morning. But I want you to read verse 8. It says, with him is an arm of flesh, that is with the enemy. But with us is the Lord our God to help us, to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The word rested mean that they found contentment in what they were doing. And you need that in the work. Doesn't matter what part of the work you're involved in. The enemy will be there to discourage you. And you need that contentment in the work. And I do trust that we will all experience it, not only as we go forward with confidence, that we will know the leading of the Lord as a congregation, but that his leading will bring blessing to the church. I think you've seen that in some degree already. I was noting to some of the men that this past year, all the special family and friends nights we had, every one of them were a blessing. Even our Easter service, where we expect generally to have at best our own people, maybe one or two of us, I think it was over 70. And the Lord in that, and in the children that have come to the Bible Club, and the children that come to the Faith, and all of those things, we see that the Lord has continued to lead his people to do those things, and has he not blessed us for it? And give us the opportunity to speak to boys and girls and men and women. Of course, we need that concerning the mission. We're praying to that end, that there will be tokens of good concerning the mission. But I must move on here quickly to a final point. We want to go forward with confidence. The Lord will lead his people. This leading brings great blessing to his people. It brought great blessing to Israel. Now, we have to say, I remind ourselves again, many a time Israel went completely off the track. I'm not too critical of them. We could do it. They got headstrong and they weren't content and they went off the track. There's no other way. They broke Moses' heart, but there's nothing he could do about it. Grieve the Lord. It says in the Psalms again that the Lord give them up, give them that which they desired, but he brought leanness to their soul. In fact, that which they thought would be better for them and a blessing to them, it was disaster. Brought great unhappiness and heaviness. And they were brought to that point again where they had to get back into fellowship with the Lord. Over the years, that has happened in a tremendous way, even on the mainland. And here, you know, whole denominations have moved away from the teaching of God's word. We need to be looking to him. There's a final thought is this. His people are encouraged to keep looking for his leading. Now, if you look with me there, please, in chapter 13. I will be brief. Chapter 13, verse 22. It says, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. There was no time. There was no time when they could look around and say, the Lord has forgotten about us. And even in their times of difficulty, they could look to the Lord and say, Lord, at least you're continuing to lead us here on. We know what the Lord has said, and now we're knowing the leading of the Lord here by his presence. And that's so important in the church as well, that we can look to him continually as he brings the blessing. We can look to him continually to keep on leading his people. Again, I read for you what it says there in Nehemiah chapter 9, and it's a verse 19. It says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. Now, if you look up in the verses before that, there had been actually what you would call idolatry that made the molten calf. Hard to imagine that those who the Lord had blessed had got to that point. But they made the molten calf. And the other verses you see here that they had turned their back on the Lord. But verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither pillar of fire by night to show them the way, and the way wherein they should go. If I look quickly at just what it says in verse 20, thou gavest them also thy good spirit to instruct them. The word instruct there means to cause to act wisely. That's what we need, but that's all we need. The leading of the Lord and his presence here in the work. And they were on their journey to the promised land. God's church is on a journey to heaven. But in the meantime, the Lord has stuff for the church to do. In a dark world, we need to be going forward with confidence. Not in ourselves. In many respects, the weaker we feel, the better. But going forward in His strength, knowing His leading, knowing that His leading brings blessing to the church, and knowing that He can continually be looked for that leading. I trust the Lord will help you in your part of the work to go forward, indeed as an individual, to go forward knowing the Lord's leading and the Lord's blessing as you seek